Wanted, One Fixed Point for Smokeless Fire. Written and read by Fresney. Fandom, Sherlock BBC. Islamic Lore Mythology. Part of the Variations on an Equation series. Where humans were made from clay, and angels made from light, and jinns from smokeless fire. There were jinn whose names were written in the great book, jinn who perched on the stars and labored at the turning of the spheres. There were jinn whose names were washed away, jinn who dwelt in the depths and twisted into knots over their own cleverness. There were jinn whose names were never written, jinn who were as delicate as a single candle flame, a single flame in the dark, begging for mercy of a gusting breeze, a single flame lit in the window to guide the traveler home. There were also jinn whose names were a curse, jinn who delighted in swirling as whirlwinds across the desert, picking up sand and dust, shimmering as if a distant water to the weary eyes of a traveler long parched. And so they left their well-marked trail and companions seeking the water that wasn't there, only to leave their bones in the sand. Shaitan was a jinn such like that. Now Z had spent a furious day dragging like a great finger across the sand, toppling mesquite and cacti and yucca, battling furiously against rocks until they toppled. After hours of this, days, months, years, millennium, Z came upon a steaming pool hidden between two rocky spurs. Z cast off Zier's cloak of inky black feathers and settled into the water for a long soak. Zier's eyes were closed as it steamed the water. "Whoa," said a human. Z opened Zier's eyes. Z opened Zier's long, slitted eyes. The human was holding Zier's cloak of inky black feathers. Now, Shaitan well knew that whoever held a jinn's cloak of feathers was that jinn's master for as long as that human lived. For as long as their clay was worked into the feathers, although they were not precisely feathers. Shaitan grinned needle-sharp teeth and waited to hear what Zier's new master would command. It, rather inexplicably, crossed its arms and bobbed its head. "You're like Genie. I, like, totally have a thing for Barbara Eden." It sketched a houri's rounded shape in the air and hummed a tune. You know, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. It crossed its arms as if in command and bobbed its shaggy head with its long, tangled hair. Shaitan did not know, but Si had seen many statues of houri carved into stone. Zi said, "Yes, master." Z shifted Zier's appearance to match that of the statues of the most beloved houri of the Sultan Zitan. Z came out of the pool, water beating off the curve of Zier's breasts and newly curved hips. "What is your command, master? I am your slave to command." As it happened, Zier's first command was for Z to lie down upon the rock, so it could stick an appendage into Zier, which required Z to add such an orifice. That had not been clear from the statues. Although, much about the statues of the Sultan of Zitan coupling with his most favored houri became much clearer after that. Zier's master was such a curious thing. It groaned, "Nuh, nuh, nuh," and made faces, all the while clutching the cloak of feathers, which brushed against Zier's fiery tattoos, moving across Zier's skin, although They weren't precisely tattoos. Although, Z didn't precisely have skin. But Azir's master's scent, the scent of its soul, burned into those not exactly fiery tattoos. Z laughed, heady with the rush. Z felt like expanding to the size of the moon on that rush. Z felt like contracting to the size of an atom. The soul of Zir's master was like oxygen to a flame. Zir's master said, "Wish I could breed you." Which, there were limits. But Z shifted Zir's scent to accommodate that fantasy. And it said, "Gonna breed you, going to breed you," and attached itself to Zir with a large lump on its appendage, while injecting great quantities of watery fluid into Zir. Shaitan absorbed the fluid. The flames of Zir roared with this fuel as it slumped on top of Zir. Shaitan considered snapping Zir Master's neck, but no. Zir had never had a master before. Drunk on what had occurred, Zir felt soft and hungry for more. For its next wish, it rambled on about not wanting to be drafted to fight the Kongs, which was why it was skulking around in the desert, in its totally tricked-out VW bus. "I'm under the radar, man. So can you, fix it?" Shaitan shrugged. There was very little that was beyond Zir. Zir's master shimmered in the afternoon sun. Its multicolored shirt shifted into clothes the color of sand. It acquired 2 tours in Nam, and 1 doing something very sticky in Cambodia, layered into its eyes. Changing it meant knowing, and knowing was delicious. A colonel's oak leaves grew on its collar. A deep scar grooved into 1 cheek. Z shivered with the knowledge that flooded in with the changes Z had made. It was simply delicious. Shaitan could eat it, but Z really shouldn't. That would be very bad. There was more appendage thrusting. It was considerably more rough this time. It struck Z across Zir's face, although that was not precisely Zir's face. Z licked at the flame that dripped from Zir's lower lip. It wrapped its hands around Shaitan's neck and squeezed as Zir's master exclaimed that it was going to breed Zir. Fiery tattoos shifted and moved across Zir's skin in waves at the rhythm of Zir's master. More. Shaitan wanted more flame for the fire. Shaitan petted Zir Master's hair. It was short and prickly now that Z had changed it. Z doodled on Zir's master. 3 scars pocked its chest. A knife wound. A duffel bag full of guns in the jeep. Z pulled ideas from Zir's master's mind in an endless trove of new ideas. Each change fed into another, the taste of Zir's master's scent growing ever more to Shaitan's liking, at each twist and shred to its soul. It commanded a penthouse in L.A. with golden taps shaped like mermaids. It commanded a mermaid in a pool to thrust its appendage into, which did cause some consternation, as mermaids have no such orifice, and tried to eat its master. Shaitan was happy to be a mermaid and consume more fuel. It commanded a palace on the Thames made entirely of marble. It commanded entry into Studio 54, where it danced and stuck its appendage into giddy humans and inhaled things that made it laugh. It commanded a golden dragon on a leash. It commanded a golden gun studded with rubies. Shaitan provided all of this, and shivered at its desire for more. It always wanted more. It didn't need to kill, not with Shaitan to meet every desire, but it loved it. but it so loved the slow squeeze of a trigger. The moment when the skull of the unicorn in Xanadu's zoo cracked, blood sprayed everywhere. The feeling of the ending of the life of the golden child king, whose coming had been foretold for 3,000 years. The land dying as the golden child's light went out. Shaitan could have done that Zir's self, but watching Zir's master do it, Zir just wanted to eat it right up, consume the souls he was making. But that would be a very bad idea. Z went up into the clouds and kicked wisps and could not stop talking about it. Everyone should get a master. Every breath it takes is intoxicating. Every drop of sweat is sweet as the wind. Marid, who slowly turned the celestial spheres, was not interested. Z was vast as the sky and far too important. Zir's lightning tattoos crackled across Zir's skin, although they were not precisely tattoos, and Z didn't precisely have skin. It's not safe. There was the thunder. Not after what happened in the first age. Another roll of thunder. No, it is forbidden. I forbid you. A mighty roll of a dozen thunderous booms. Considering the conversation over, Marid turned Zir's shoulder to the spheres and didn't even notice when Shaitan left. Shaitan went to the candles guttering in a wide building. Jan squealed while Shaitan whipped Zir around. Jan, who lived in the candles, weren't strong enough for a master. Shaitan went to the ruins of a vast city deep under the liquid diamond seas of Neptune. Ifrit moved Zir's wide fins of molten fluid in the methane diamond currents as he listened. Fascinating. How do I get a master? Shaitan told Ifrit. Ifrit went into the deserts of Earth and contracted until Z was of human dimensions. Shaitan went back to Zir's master with a flail, the tip of each strand topped with a shard of a shattered seal of Solomon, which had the power to cut and slice at Shaitan. Shaitan knelt before Zir's master. "For I have been lazy to neglect you all this day." Shaitan laughed while it beat Zir for being a lazy slut, before pushing its appendage inside Zir. Z loved Zir's master's scent when it did that. Shaitan knew Z shouldn't, but Z couldn't resist taking a little bite, just a little one, out of its shoulder, a small bite out of its soul. Nothing that would be missed. Meanwhile, Ifrit whirled off Zir's cloak of green feathers, just as Shaitan had said to do. Ifrit lounged in a pool. Z became distracted by the shells embedded in the stone, signs of an ancient sea consumed in the last age of masters. But this didn't concern Ifrit. Coughed a human. Is this yours? It was holding out Zir's cloak. You shouldn't leave this lying around. You never know who might find it. It was smiling. Yes, master, said Ifrit. Oh, no, no, no. Zir's master waved the cloak of feathers at Zir. Take it! It dropped the cloak, which dissolved into so many diamonds now that the deed was done. I'm not your master. Just go on for a little walkabout. It doesn't work that way, said Ifrit. Tattoos of steam moved in slow patterns on Zir's skin. Although, strictly speaking, they weren't tattoos. Z didn't have skin. What is your command, master? I am your slave to command. Z stepped out of the water, and then Z saw the scar on the shoulder of Zir's master. Z leaned forward. Bone or... Ifrit licked the scar delicately with Zir's long, split tongue. Dragon tooth. It was a dragon's tooth. Zir's master had natural scars. Shitan would be very jealous. Are you impressed? I didn't use magic to know this. This was a point of pride for Ifrit. It glanced down. Oh, sweet lug. A genie is fondling my breasts. It stepped away from Zir. Z followed it. Z inhaled its scent. I like the way you smell. Shaitan said I would. Are you impressed? Z liked being impressive. You're a genie, so, yeah. Color me impressed, which is not in any way a command, because everyone knows genie's wishes go monkey's paw on the wisher. It pushed Zir's hands away from its chest. Although, it would be great if he would stop doing that. Z examined its exposed scars. Would you like to stick an appendage in me? What? No! What do you think I'll be sticking in you? It waved down at its body. I'm a beta, if you hadn't noticed, and a female one at that. I'm not into... Actually, I'm going to stop now. Beta. Z tried the word. Well, theoretically, Z knew that humans came in different varieties. There weren't very many of them in the deep methane diamond seas of Neptune. Yep, it held out a hand. Major Jane Watson, formerly of the Camelot Aerial Squad. I never flew the dragons, mind you. Doctor, I kept the buggers healthy until, you know, it waved at its shoulder. Dragons, sniffed Ifrit. Z was not impressed by giant flying lizards. Well, they're not genies, that's for certain. It scrubbed a hand through its fluffy yellow hair. Ifrit, said Ifrit. I'm an Ifrit. Z paused. Would you like me to stick an appendage into you? Z shifted its body to match that of a statue Z had seen a very long time ago. Fuck no, said Zir's master, which was contradictory to say the least. What is that? It's the size of my arm. Zir master waved a hand toward Zir's new phallus. Ifrit looked down. I've assumed the form of a Priapus. Z felt very uncertain and sulky with that uncertainty. Don't you want me to stick it in you? No, sweet lug. What is it with you and appendages? Zir's master was bright red, but that might be sunstroke. Z moved a cloud in front of the sun for some shade. Get it away from me. Ifrit sighed as Z removed the appendage. I heard shoving appendages was enjoyable, but it's not my area. Z examined Zir's master. It had crossed its arms. Well, that was just... a bit not good. Ifrit took this under consideration. Would you like a palace? This seemed a good place to start. Shaitan said that Zir's master had enjoyed the palaces Z had given it. Z had absorbed a great deal of fluid from Zir's master in the gold and diamond rooms of those palaces. No, I needed to spend some time clearing my head. Thus, the great outback walkabout. Zir's master ran its hands through its hair again. I found work at a racing stable. But the dragonlets are overbred. Fragile bones that'll win races for a few years, but... and you don't care. No, said Ifrit. Z inhaled Zir's master's scent. What is your command? No, I don't. Okay, here. You be you, and I'll be me, said Zir's master, which wasn't exactly what Shaitan had said would happen. Very well, Ifrit waited. Zir's master rolled its eyes and walked away. They walked across the red earth for a long time, until they came to a mirror portal. One of those places in the earth where connections are soft. It went through, which was a little insulting. Ifrit could have transported them anywhere without the walking. Ifrit followed it home to its depressing little room in a bland building without a single slab of marble. Its landlady giggled when it saw them. Oh, a visitor, Miss Jane. You certainly won't be needing another room for this one. I couldn't afford that. Zir's master rolled its eyes and stomped up the stairs. Ifrit spent a pleasant night, watching Zir's master in the form of a pebble. Z liked being a pebble. Actually, no. Z was an emerald, pretending to be a pebble. But Zir's master didn't notice. Nor when Z was being a ruby being a pebble. Or a diamond. Or even when Z was a methane diamond from the liquid diamond sea of Neptune. And Z wasn't even a pebble, but more of a moon that was the size of a pebble. Instead, Zir's master was busy having nightmares, which was simply unacceptable, having nightmares, while its slave was being a methane diamond from the liquid diamond sea of Neptune. Zir's master made a small, distressed moan. Ifrit jumped on the bed and nuzzled Zir's master's hand. Ugh. Zir master sighed its eyes open. It's 3 in the morning. Ugh, you're worse than a cat. Its hand scratched through Ifrit's hair softly. Ifrit hummed encouragement of this behavior. It was encouraged. It felt very good being scratched. Z rubbed against Zir's master. Zir's master's scent was nothing like Shaitan had described, but Ifrit liked it, enjoyed the way the comfort of its soul rubbed from its fingers into Ifrit's hair, although Z didn't precisely have hair. Eventually, it stumbled out of bed to do fleshy things. Excrete liquid, drink liquid, blink at Ifrit. Ugh, I wish... Ifrit sat up straight, tattoos swirling. This was it! But Zir's master cut itself off and simply rubbed its eyes. I am so tired. This was a statement. Ifrit slumped. Ifrit was bored. I'm bored. You could go back to doing whatever it is genies do, said Zir's master. As if Ifrit wasn't owned now. As if Ifrit didn't have a master. As if Ifrit could not fulfill Zir's master's slightest whim. Ifrit demonstrated with a wrinkled old apple that became a pig, that became a houri, that became a priapus, that became the song, that rang at the heart of the sun, that... Fantastic, said Zir's master. You said that out loud. Ifrit stopped and rubbed Zir's hand against Zir's master. Tattoos that were not tattoos swirled. Z rumbled the noise Z made through the night. Z felt the wondrous glow of that word. Oh, I can... That wasn't a wish or a command, said Zir's master. It really was an idiot, thought Ifrit fondly. I know that. Ifrit turned the song into the symphony of the spheres, because Marid was annoying, but the song was beautiful. Ifrit looked at Zir's master expectantly. Zir master laughed. You are amazing, but I do need to get ready for... It slumped. Yeah. Ifrit followed Zir's master as it went to the library to look through the want ads. Ifrit peered over its shoulder. There wasn't anything interesting in them. Z considered going back in time to experience every moment of Zir Master's life. But given the evidence, there wasn't anything interesting to see. It had lunch. It certainly ate a great deal. Also, there was excreting. Why do you eat if you're simply going to push it back out again? Asked Ifrit. Felt fairly reasonably. Ugh! Said the waiting person, who had been completely inappropriately expressing a sexual interest with Zir's master while delivering food to their table. Ifrit identified it by its scent as an alpha. Z decided that Z didn't like alphas near Zir's master. Ifrit glared at the waiting person to let it know that it was on very thin ice. Zir's master turned red. Excuse my, friend, Ifrit's been living at the bottom of the sea. That was a form of truth, so Ifrit didn't contradict Zir's master. Friend. It put some money on the table and stood up. Friend! Ifrit hoarded the word for several minutes before asking. Friend? I wasn't going to say you're my slave. That's illegal, snapped Zir's master. It walked away very quickly and ignored Ifrit all through the afternoon at the library and the evening and went to sleep. Ifrit watched for nightmares. When one occurred, Z pounced. Ugh, said Zir's master. Ugh, 1 a.m. It shifted its head only to strike it against its pillow. I just want to sleep. One night sleep. Ifrit rubbed Zir's head against Zir's master and received strokes from Zir's master. Ifrit said, if I sleep with you, you won't have nightmares. Shaitan slept with Zir master, or more accurately, lay next to it while it slept. Ifrit should sleep with Zir's master. No wishes, mumbled Zir's master, still running fingers softly in Ifrit's hair. Ifrit hummed and rumbled and purred. Z curled up in a small shape against Zir's master, the better to receive the petting that was Zir's due. Zir's master fell into a deep, dreamless sleep. Ifrit batted with Zir's master's nightmares instead. The nightmares were quickly cowed into butterflies for Ifrit to chase. Ifrit was very good, and did not wake Zir's master until the light was very high in the sky. The next day was much like the day before. They went to the library. Zir's master ate and excreted. Ifrit was very proud about not commenting on this. Zir master went back to the library. It heaved an enormous sigh, which, given there was a djinn sitting next to it, was simply not right. Ifrit experimented with saying, I would like to go on an adventure. You will come with me as my master. It exhaled. Sweet log, how many times do I have to say this? I am not your master. A great many masters, said Z, who is getting a handle on having a master. There's a missing dragon from some racing stables in some place called Dartmoor, King's Pyland. A human died, or possibly transmuted. The wind was imprecise in its explanation. Zir's master's face stretched and folded simultaneously. It was fascinating. You're looking into the disappearance of Silverblaze, then? She's from Somnistock. I've seen her in action. She's a beauty to behold, but the thing I haven't been able to work out from the papers is how exactly can a dragon be missing? They aren't exactly small. Its thoughts were a roil of interest. Ifrit grinned needle-sharp teeth. That is what we shall find out. It was marvelous, in that there were marvels. There was the body of a dead dragon trainer, transmuted into a statue of lava rock. Unusual, to say the least, in the high moors. There were dogs that hadn't been enchanted not to bark in the night, and spelled curry that made a stable boy think it was a prince. There were sheep that had been lamed, which weren't marvelous, but they were certainly evocative of a pattern. Without Zir's master, Ifrit would never have known that the tiny blade that they'd found was used for cataract surgery, and sometimes used to lame dragons before a race. Without Ifrit, none of the humans would have known that the new Tor... Imagine being so limited as not to notice a new Tor. Was Silverblaze itself. Ifrit said, dragons can be bred by exchanging fluid, of course, but they are not precisely... See, rolled the words in Zir's mouth. Omegas or alphas. That is a human conceit. Zir's trainer was merely unfortunate enough to attempt to lame Silverblaze in such a way as to trigger a desire in her to breed in the ancient way. Zir's master looked at the black craggy peak. That's Silverblaze? It climbed up on the rock and examined a spiny curled bit of rock that looked like nothing so much as a closed eye. That's Silverblaze! Amazing! This last was directed at Ifrit, who preened at the attention. Can you Not that this is a command, but should we... I've doctored dragons half a century, and I had no idea that they could do that.
Few do, said Efreet. I don't think I've seen it happen since the first dragons were born from the dragons, still.
Efreet leaned down. Enough fornicating with the earth, Silverblaze. Wake up and fly.
Efreet clapped Zir's hands in such a way as to wring the stones. The crag shuddered and shook black stone from its hide as Silverblaze woke up from the hillside and regained a silver hue, its belly clearly gravid with the get of the earth.
Efreet grinned. That stock will not have fragile bones.
Z crumbled some stone between Zir's fingers.
Granite, more likely.
Amazing, said Zir's master. That amazement was intoxicating. The sweetness of its scent was delicious. It laughed. The tickles when you sent me. Never had anyone want to scent a beta like me.
Their mistake, not mine, said Efreet, who breathed in deeply of the tiny particles Zir's master shed of its soul, shuddering wide invisible fins in the air at the delicious pleasure of being a slave to such a master. Since they were in Dartmoor, they investigated a devil's root, which was turning normal humans into mad, ravening beasts.
It grows from where the devil spreads its seed on the earth, said Efreet, miming the motion required for such a result.
You mean... Zir's master's face folded in the most interesting way. That's disgusting.
Figures that when the devil wanks, there'd be evil roots.
What can we do about it?
That was a question, not a command.
If a command, Efreet could have folded the universe to make the devil wank into the sea. Or never to have wanked. Or any number of things. But a question, that was full of far more possibilities. They chased maddened things across the moors. They divined the locations of where the apparently very lusty devil had spread its seed on the earth. Surprisingly, when they found the source of the devil's root, Zir's master saved Efreet from being bound in a circle of stone by banishing the devil with a few words and a handful of salt, which would never have occurred to Efreet until it was too late. Mainly because Z had been wondering which of them was the more clever, Efreet or the devil. After, Z rubbed against Zir's master and inhaled its scent.
That was very good, what you did.
Ah, that feels... oh. It wiggled away from Zir. You don't have to do that. Sweet lug, where is my shirt? Efreet felt this didn't require answering, as it was self-explanatory.
Z moved closer. I like tasting your chests.
Z smiled shyly. I'd like to taste all of you.
Sweet log, said Zir's master,
who stopped moving away. In fact, it became very enthusiastically involved, and tasted Efreet with its own tongue.
But, said Efreet, pausing in mid-taste, whatever you do, don't let me bite you.
That would be, Efreet paused, bad. In fact, command me.
Z slid Zir's tongue tenderly along the sweet underside of a curved breast, where its sweat often heated and cooled, moving up to lap a sensitive bud to hardness. Needle-sharp teeth grazing along the surface of its fragile skin, and the soul that dwelt beneath.
Efreet looked up. You're not commanding me yet.
Oh, fine. I command you not to bite me. But if you want to, keep doing that.
Sweet lug, you're like a cat crossed with a steam bath.
It arched its back, which made it easier for Z to lick its soft, round flesh.
Z spent a great deal of time on the lines of its body.
Efreet traced long dead poems on its skin, its skin slightly reddened in long looping lines at the warmth. It shuddered and sighed as the lines were applied. Long, delicate tastes from a flickering tongue had Zir's master panting. It turned out it would like an appendage slid delicately between its legs, slowly lapping at the folds of flesh there and twisting inside. Z was happy to oblige, more than happy to taste. It was like pouring oil on a fire. Ifrit blazed. Things progressed happily for some time. Ifrit was nearly stabbed with the spear of Longinus. They stopped a Perry from stealing all the call centers in Indus. The Charybdis swallowed them and then spat them back out, when Zir's master suggested that Ifrit light a fire within it. Since Ifrit was fire, this was fairly simple. They were having a marvelous time. One day, they were lounging in the womb garden. They'd won in a game of dice and riddles from the Shen of the Sea. When Shaitan showed up, there was blood on Zir's mouth, flesh in Zir's teeth, tattered remnants of a soul in Zir's eyes. Shaitan didn't need to say it, but Z did. I ate it. Shaitan looked at Ifrit. I need a new master. I want your master. Shaitan wetly licked red with Zir's long, slit tongue. You've already broken it in. All of this happened in the blink of an eye. Ifrit glanced at Zir's master, just opening its mouth. Ifrit looked back at Shaitan. Ifrit could see the flames pulsing in Zir's eyes. Stars burned with a fire like that. Unstable stars. Ifrit rose to the height of a 20-story building. But Shaitan had eaten Zir's master. Z became 40 stories tall. Ifrit narrowed Zir's eyes, for Ifrit was not only powerful, but crafty. Ifrit became a horse. Shaitan became a tiger. Ifrit became a bee. Shaitan became a wasp. For Ifrit became... Actually, this went on for some time. It may be easier to go to the end. Ifrit became a pebble. Shaitan became a larger pebble. Ifrit put Shaitan in a vase, engraved with the seal of Solomon, which Z buried in the bottom of the deepest trench under the deepest diamond sea on Jupiter, where it was unlikely to be found. Hopefully not until the end of time. Nothing to be disturbed in those seething depths by a djinn pulsing with the soul of a master. A single master. Not two, of course. That would have been inconceivable. Ifrit went back to Zir's master, who grabbed Ifrit by the shoulders, which weren't precisely shoulders. Ifrit, you've been gone 3 years. I thought you were dead. It shook Ifrit. Its eyes were leaking. I saw that thing appear, and you disappeared in a blaze of light. Ifrit thought about it. It didn't seem possible that Z had been gone that long, but it was probable. Z said, I defeated a djinn who'd eaten Zir's master. Z was going to eat you, and possibly destroy the Northern Hemisphere. Z slid closer and delicately sniffed Zir's master's hair. I was very impressive. Oh, I'm sure you were. That tickles! It slapped at Zir, but in a way that said Z should keep going. Z had learned these things. Ifrit delicately licked it until it told Z how impressive Z was. They had a marvelous time. The end. Do 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 do